Rodgers in trouble. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Pressure, pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown.
We are back with another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I can't remember if I've done that one yet or not. I'm trying to mix it up. But I am Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And today we have the Packers versus Panthers on Saturday Night Football. A little bit of a surprise, kind of from out of the ordinary. When I think of Saturday football, personally, I think of the Packers and Vikings on Christmas Eve during the Run the Table season when it was just a complete blowout and Aaron Rodgers looked like a madman. So, Perry, I don't know about you, probably because it's a national game, you like it, but I'm excited for Saturday Night Football. And then the Browns are out on Sunday, so it's a festive weekend in the Loney house.
I'm not sure how I feel about the Saturday. Like, it's just weird to watch football that's not college on a Saturday night. I do love the national broadcast, though. I live for the national broadcast, so I don't have to get a stream of the game. Well, now that I have Red Zone, I don't need it. But I think it'll be kind of fun, like make it a night, make it a Saturday. And either way, a Sunday will be either really relaxing or kind of sad because hopefully the Packers will win. And so it will just be a nice, easy day of watching football all day on Sunday.
Yeah, I have plans with my in-laws on Sunday morning, so I just have to make sure that I don't drink a lot on Saturday night, which should be fine. I'm also making tacos, so I'm feeling pretty good about Saturday night as a whole. So, Perry, going into Saturday Night Football, then, who would be one of your players to watch on the Packers offense?
I'm looking at Big Bob Tonyan this week. I think that he's been super solid and obviously a guy that Rodgers has been very comfortable going to. But based off what I've seen from the Panthers defense, they've been really struggling to cover tight ends over the last couple of games, especially this past weekend against the Broncos. The Broncos have Nick Vinette. And if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know who that is, me too. But he is the Broncos tight end and they had a really tough time covering him. And so if they have a tough time covering the Drew Lock to Nick Vinette connection, I have a feeling that they're going to really struggle against covering Tonyan. So I'm looking for him to kind of attack the middle of the field, attack the middle of this defense that the Panthers have, maybe have, you know, a multiple touchdown game because it's a weakness, I think, in the defense that we can exploit very, very easily.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed that too. I mean, if you look at how the Panthers performed against against the Broncos, it was Drew Lock's best game as a pro. Like he threw four touchdowns. I think he had almost 150 passer rating. Like he looked exceptional and no disrespect to Drew Lock, but you know, that's Drew Lock and Aaron Rodgers, obviously then is my player to watch going into Saturday night because he's on pace for some career milestones. And, you know, the Panthers defense that we'll talk about kind of individually, but I think they're still finding their identity as a holistic defense. So thinking about that, kind of what this offense looks like under Aaron Rodgers, I think we're going to see a really heavy passing attack and then we'll see what happens with the run game.
Yeah, 100%. He's on a tear. Well, who's stopping him now? We've played some of the best defenses in the league and no one's been able to stop him really. So it's really, the Packers stop themselves is what ends up happening. And hopefully I don't anticipate that happening against a pretty mediocre Panthers team.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the Panthers, they're just kind of middle of the road in both categories. They're middle of the road in offense, middle of the road in defense. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit pre-show. I feel like they're a team that should maybe be better than their record. And losing Christian McCaffrey was a big part of that. But they have pieces on offense. And you'd think that they would have opportunities to be really successful. So then,
they're in the first year of a rebuild. So it's not that crazy that they're mediocre. It's actually awesome that they're mediocre and you can see the flashes of what they could be when they get into maybe year two of Matt Rhule. And like you said, they get Christian McCaffrey back. But I don't think it's like the worst thing in the world that they're not like being insanely successful.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the roster, yes, the Packers just played them last season, but this team looks entirely different. There's no Luke Kuechly, there's no Cam Newton, there's no Greg Olsen. Yeah. So then kind of knowing that and knowing that this is such a different looking team, who would be your player to watch then for the Panthers offense?
I think they have, like you said, a couple of pieces. I think Robbie Anderson is a really interesting piece for them. He's obviously Teddy's number one guy. I mean, he's pretty much the only wide receiver, but he's really explosive. And he's an interesting one because I think that he can do a number of different things. I noticed that we know that he's like a deep threat. That's like typically what he is. He can just like kind of blow the top off of you, but he also is being used with some like jet sweeps and end arounds and things like that on Sunday against the Broncos, which I thought was really interesting. So it keeps defenses really honest. But if he gets the ball in space, like it's lights out. He can get into the end zone. He's kind of like MVS in that way. Like you don't want to let him get over the top of you. So he's definitely the one that I'm watching. If you kind of diminish Robbie Anderson's explosiveness, I think you can cripple this offense.
Yeah. And Robbie Anderson is 4 yards shy of his first 1,000-yard season as a pro. So I think that's something to look for. Obviously, I don't expect him, unless he's visiting Jair Island, then, maybe he doesn't hit his 4 yards, but he should eclipse 1,000 yards for the first time in his career on Saturday night. But I think my player to watch is Mike Davis. And maybe that one seems pretty obvious, but he's been filling in really admirably for Christian McCaffrey. I think he's third in the NFL in broken tackles with 25. And if you've watched the Packers play defense, broken tackles is something that they've kind of struggled with all season. So to me, Mike Davis gives this defense a little bit of a tune-up before they see Derrick Henry on Sunday Night Football the following week. So especially kind of with the middle of this Packers defense being up in the air, Jalen Sullivan hasn't looked that great in the last couple weeks. Christian Kirksey is really struggling. So kind of seeing how they respond to a back like Mike Davis is going to be really interesting on Saturday night. So then switching gears, going right into this Packers defense, who is your player to watch on Saturday?
This was a tough one because I feel like there's a lot of players on defense I want to watch. Like I want to watch the entire defense as a whole, but I'm really kind of looking, this is a cop out because it's not a player, but I'm really looking at our pass rushers. I think that, if you let Teddy get into a rhythm of any kind, he can actually kind of cut you a little bit in like a way that like Drew Brees and Tom Brady can in sort of that shorter yardage passing game. And so you don't really want to get Teddy into a rhythm. And so like the way to do that obviously is to get him under pressure, but he also is like a kind of a mobile quarterback and can run against pressure. So you just like basically have to sack him. And he got sacked against Denver 4 times. I think he's been sacked a decent amount this season. You mentioned pre-show that their left tackle is doubtful to play. So I'm looking at Z, at Preston, at Rashawn, at really this whole like pass rush combo to just get to Teddy and, really, really stop him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And that's kind of funny. I'm glad you talked about the front of the defense because I'm going to look at the back end now. Jalen Sullivan, I said it a little bit ago, I think he's struggled a little bit the last couple weeks. And now I think he'll play Sunday, but he's been kind of limited on the injury report. So depending on what happens with him, that nickel corner spot might kind of be up in the air. And, I've wondered kind of going into this week, is that something where they would move Darnell Savage? Because we've talked on the show before how Darnell played a ton of nickel in college. Or do you not want to kind of mess up that back end of your secondary if they've been playing so well and so cohesively by putting a guy like Vernon Scott maybe in at free safety? So to me, that's kind of what I'm looking at is, DJ Moore, I think, has 924 or something. He's just shy of 1,000-yard season as well. So this is a nice explosive offense that the Packers are going up against. So seeing how that secondary plays against those guys, whoever Jair is on, you can kind of, call it a wash, but whether it's Kevin King or whoever else, Curtis Samuel even is a weapon for that offense. So kind of how that secondary matches up with some of these really quick, explosive Panthers wide receivers.
Panthers defense. Oh yeah. This is one I'm really excited to talk about actually, because it's just interesting. Like there's nothing about this defense that like is particularly scary. They have 3 rookies that are starters. So it's like, as great as some of their like top picks were, that's not going to be an impactful defense. It might be a scary defense in a couple of years. Like you can see the players, putting the pieces together, but I have really enjoyed watching Jeremy Chinn play. I know that he's been like player of the month and like you know, he's really obviously coming to his own as a safety, but he's much more of a that really, really true, like hybrid linebacker safety role that ever this like coveted position that everybody wants. He seems to fit like very naturally in it. As I was watching, like he can really cover the middle of the field. And so it'll be interesting to see what he can do against like the number one offense in the league, in the Packers offense. And, you know, a player going up against players like Big Bob, like I mentioned, or Devontae potentially, and just like trying to sort of read Aaron Rodgers and what they're going to ask him to do against the Packers. But he's a really exciting, really exciting young player. And I think that he has all the makings to be like one of the best in the league eventually.
Yeah. And his numbers are just insane already in his rookie season. I think he's like the only player that has a sack, an interception, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, a touchdown. Like
he's everywhere. He's everywhere. And Trey Boston isn't what Trey Boston used to be. Obviously he's like not his prime, but the two of them as a tandem were really, really good together. Like Trey with the more veteran, like football IQ experience a little bit in like the back end. And then they just let Jeremy Chinn fly.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of fun. I have to talk about the player that I wanted in the 2019 draft, and I love Rashawn Gary. I just have to say that, but I was the conductor of the Brian Burns hype train. I really wanted to see him in Green Bay as kind of that third edge rusher for the Packers. So his is a career that I've been following closely in his first two seasons. And, you know, we're seeing Rashawn Gary take a jump and all of that is great, but Brian Burns is kind of the guy for this Panthers defense right now. He leads the Panthers right now with 6 sacks, and he's put together a really nice sophomore season. He had a really nice rookie season as well. So going into kind of his second year, I think that he can set the tone for that Panthers defense. And, you know, like you said, they have a ton of rookies. Derek Brown was their first pick at, I think, 7 overall. So there's some fun rookies that we talked about a lot on this show during draft season that now we get to see playing the Packers. But Brian Burns in his second year as a player that I've been keeping a close eye on has looked really good.
I knew that's who you were going to say. I mean, it's true, right? He's like one of the best players. He is probably like arguably their best player on defense. So you got to always watch out for Brian Burns.
Kind of flipping them back to the Packers, who would be your X factor going into this game on Saturday?
It's a good question. You know, it's hard to say because I think that our entire offense is filled with X factors, and you know, our offense is just running so smoothly. So I'm actually thinking kind of a little bit about the defense and how this defense is going to sort of stop the Panthers offense, because they are interesting. Like they definitely do some really interesting things. And I think Teddy is an interesting quarterback to go up against. They call a lot of like quarterback draws for him. He already has 4 rushing touchdowns. You know, it's like, who's going to be there to cover that? And so I'm curious, first off, how much Christian Kirksey's going to play, because unfortunately he just hasn't been living up to what he was brought in to do. And, you know, I feel like your inside linebackers are the ones that need to sort of cover a pretty mobile quarterback from taking off and running. And so is that going to be Chris Barnes? Is it going to be Kamal Martin? You know, who's going to come in to serve as like the Raven Green role now that he's gone? It's though that middle of the field defense that I'm just really curious about what the Packers end up doing, because if they are able to sort of limit Teddy's running lanes, then that limits the Panthers offense incredibly. So I guess my answer is the inside linebacker group, but I would just like to see Kamal Martin on the field more.
Yeah. Especially all the hype that kind of surrounded Kamal Martin in the beginning of the season before, you know, in training camp, even though we didn't get to see it, we heard from a lot of the reporters that he was kind of the guy that was surprising and making a name for himself in the middle of the defense. And if he and Chris Barnes together keep playing at the level that we've seen, kind of is hard to see Christian Kirksey remaining with the Packers for a second season. Yeah, so my X factor, and maybe it's cheating here a little bit, but I'm going to go with Tavon Austin. And, you know, he was just signed with the Packers a couple weeks ago, kind of brought on to be their punt returner, special teams guy. But we did see against the Lions that he was starting to get a couple snaps on offense, and Matt LaFleur was using him in a couple different creative ways. And, you know, I don't want to say that it was the Tyler Irvin role, but it does seem like that's what Tavon Austin was kind of brought in to do. So, you know, we know he's still learning this offense and it might take a while before he's fully up to speed, but I do think that we're seeing Matt LaFleur begin to utilize him more and put him in a couple packages. So hopefully we see a little more of that on Saturday night, because I think that'd be really fun, is to see him get up to speed. And, you know, the same way we've seen MVS, Alan Lazard, EQ. A lot of these guys do end-arounds, jet sweeps, a lot of motion. Tavon Austin is just a really nice fit for the Matt LaFleur offense and the scheme that he normally likes to run with his players.
Yeah, I think we all want Tavon Austin to get a little bit more involved just because, you know, why bring him in if he's going to, you don't want him to be a Ryan Grant 2.0. And he does bring like a really interesting skill set to the team. So even if he's just kick returning, you know, let's see him out there.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that Tavon Austin kind of brings to this Packers team that we haven't seen maybe since Tyler Irvin got injured or just in general what we're missing from special teams this year is that ability to give the Packers good field position. And, you know, we saw against the Lions, there are plenty of opportunities for this Packers special teams unit to kind of make opposing teams march the length of the field. And they haven't done that. Even against the Lions, you know, there was the kick return. Mason Crosby had to shove the returner out of bounds. And that was an opportunity for the Lions to get back in the game, even though Chase Daniel was under center. You know, when it's a backup quarterback, you want to make them drive the length of the field. And he was starting in very favorable, basically field goal range, really good field position. So I don't know if Tavon Austin is the guy. I don't really see him being that kind of gunner. But I think this is something that special teams needs to shore up. And hopefully that's something that we see more of from this Packers team moving forward. Got to get that right for the playoffs. You kind of touched on this a little bit already with your X factor, but then what would be your key matchup going into Saturday, whether it's a player versus a player or kind of a position group versus a position group that you're going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, I think we touched on it earlier, but you know, this team has two rookies up front starters. So I think this is a game where like the Packers offensive line should win in the trenches pretty handedly. We finally have all of our offensive linemen healthy as well. So I think keeping Aaron Rodgers upright and clean will be, it's always key, but it also, I think, should be fairly easy if you can cover Brian Burns. I also noticed that some of their rooks are pretty, penalty prone, which makes sense, right? Like early, Aaron Rodgers getting that cadence off at home in Lambeau Field should really trick some of these new guys, which I think will, you know, always just adds an extra layer of complexity to going up against a Green Bay Packers offense. So I'm really just looking at this offensive line to do exactly what they've done all season and keep Aaron Rodgers upright and clean so that, like you mentioned earlier, this passing game can kind of go off.
Yeah, so I'll flip it, and we're kind of switching roles this week. You talked about the front seven, so I'm going to talk about the secondary, and I think that's going to be the key matchup here is whatever happens with Jandon Sullivan and the nickel. You've got Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. We touched on them already. They're close to 1,000 yards, both of them on the season. Curtis Samuel is questionable, but he should be good to go for Saturday night. So those are a lot of explosive, quick weapons for this Panthers offense. And you mentioned Teddy Bridgewater getting into a rhythm. So those are all things to kind of account for, you know, if it's Darnell Savage, Vernon Scott, Will Redmond, Kadar Holman, Josh Jackson, whoever they're playing in the nickel, if they bring Jair in, put someone else on the boundary, there's a lot of factors there. And, you know, maybe Chandon Sullivan plays and it's all kind of a moot point, but that's kind of what I'm going to be keeping a close eye on going into Saturday is what does this Packers secondary look like for starters and how are they going to match up against these wide receivers for the Panthers who are pretty explosive? Is Jair going to shadow somebody? Is it going to be Robbie Anderson if he does? Is it going to be DJ Moore? And what does that look like for the Panthers offense?
I think it's pretty clear that we both think that the Packers are going to win this game. Am I correct in that?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you think the final score is going to be for this Saturday night game?
I feel like it's going to be another 30-point game for the Packers. I mean, I don't see them dipping beyond that, especially at Lambeau Field. So 30-17, 30-24 sounds right to me. I don't want to say 30-24 as if I think it's going to be a close game. You know, I think 30-17 is realistic, 31-17, 31-20 maybe, but I want to see this Packers defense keep their foot on the gas. And even if the offense stalls a couple times, because let's be real, their 77% in the red zone is really impressive, but they're not going to score on every single possession. At least, you know, that'd be great if they did, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I want to see the defense close out the game for the Packers. And whether or not that happens, the score might reflect a closer game than what we actually saw on the football field.
I kind of feel like it's going to be higher scoring than that. Okay. You know, if they're going to let Drew Lock go off for four touchdowns, like what is Aaron Rodgers going to do? So I'm looking at this more of a 37-24 kind of game. Mm-hmm. That it feels like that realm of possibility. And, you know, hope Packers win.
I mean, I would love it if it's, let's get another 40 burger while we're at it. You know, just see how many
add insult to injury.
See how many of the Packers can put up in a season. So before we wrap things up, we did see that the Packers will be letting in 250 frontline workers in addition to the 500 employees for the game on Saturday night at Lambeau Field. So we're looking at about 750 people there total. It is their way of expressing their appreciation for the frontline workers. So here at PAX What She Said, we also just really want to thank you. Can't thank you enough for all of the work that you've done during this pandemic. I'm sure it was thankless a lot of the time. And so just please, we really appreciate everything that you have done. And we hope that you enjoy the game on Saturday and hope you get to see a fantastic Packers victory at Lambeau Field.
Couldn't have said it better. Completely agree. And hopefully all of you will be getting the vaccine very, very soon.
Yes, absolutely. So, Perry, wrapping up, you gave the final score. I'm hoping that yours is more accurate than mine. I hope the Packers kind of blow the Panthers out, get primed for the playoffs. But where can everybody find all of your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at Perry_Goldstein. Everything is there in my bio. You can find me and Maggie every Monday for Game On Wisconsin Happy Hour. I am with Packer Report with Ross Uglum and Pack-A-Day with Andy and Alex. And as always, please follow the podcast at PWSS Podcast.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney. I write two articles a week for She Said TV, a podcast with the Thursday Pack-A-Day podcast crew, Jacob Westendorf and Jimmy Christensen. Like Perry said, you can find us on Mondays with Game On Wisconsin doing happy hour. And you can also buy Packs What She Said merch by clicking on the Teespring link in our Twitter bio. Keep an eye on the Twitter. We likely will be doing a holiday giveaway in the future. So if you're interested in winning some Packs What She Said merch, stay tuned on how to do that. But as always, thank you for listening to the show. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
And Jones out in front. They're trying to chase him down. He's inside the 10 and he is in for the touchdown.
The title is